We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Apply and good luck from the fan.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
To you. How are we looking? Bill Michaels Show is on the air. I got to tell you, right out of the chute today, if the show's a little off, now I'm excited on Fridays, beautiful weather today, warm. I got a thing going on this afternoon after I get off the air with some veterans that are doing a little bit of a walk. I got Sweat for Vets tomorrow, so I'm in shorts and ready to go walking outdoors, right? I don't know what it is lately. I have been just dragging. I mean, and I'm not talking like normal drag. Between the wedding stuff and the normal work stuff and some of the sales stuff and all the other, and now don't play a violin here. I'm not complaining about it, but I don't know what it is, man. I'm just all of a sudden just like, bleh. So today I got up finally, and didn't get a lot of sleep last night, but finally got up today and just went. Did you ever have one of those days, Joe, where you oversleep? And you wake up, and you're late, and you're running around like crazy. And then finally, when you catch your breath, you're like, whoa, now I'm energized. Maybe it's adrenaline rush or something. That's kind of my day today. I don't know if it's like later on tonight, I'm going to go get a good fish fry someplace and just completely crash into my fish or what it is. But holy mackerel. Got up today, felt good. Like somebody had punched me right in the face with a bag of oranges last night. Felt that kind of good. And today is like, okay. Feeling a little bit better now. I that was my best John Madden impersonation right there, by the way, as I noticed it coming out of my mouth. So, today is a weird Friday, and I look forward to a weird Friday because we could always use one of those. We got Derek Wetmore, the MLB analyst for 1500 ESPN in the Twin Cities, going to join us coming up here in a little bit. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Our good buddy, Steve Novak, the Bucks television analyst for Fox Sports Wisconsin. He's going to be here in about an hour from now. We're going to talk with him about this this Bucks coaching hire. We are going to hear, oh, by the way, in case you did not hear it, Dennis Miller, the stand-up comedian, he was on Monday Night Football, was on Saturday Night Live. He actually joined the program a couple of weeks ago. It was very, very good. We really enjoyed our conversation with him. He performs tomorrow night at the Riverside here in Milwaukee. So we thought, you know what? Let's get a little nostalgic, shall we? You're going to hear that. That's going to be coming up today. We have the new male heads up plays of the week. We have Paul Imig, our green and gold analyst. We got a lot coming up today. Good stuff today. Ryan Braun being sent to the DL. I'm just letting that sink in for a minute. Being sent to the DL. And some people, you know what? Good. Get him healthy. Get him coming back. Let him hit the baseball. Everything will be great. Others, done with him. Wiping their hands. Done with him. That type of thing. You know, can't stay healthy, they baby him, the whole thing. I mean, I've heard it all in the last 24 hours. But G-Man Choi is coming up, and there's a lot of people excited to see him. So seeing if that's going to turn out to be a good situation. You got Freddie Peralta going tomorrow on the Hill in the Twin Cities, and a lot of people excited about that. Can you imagine? Okay, let's just take this scenario for just a second here. Can you imagine? If he comes in tomorrow night and throws another gem of a game, and I'm not saying 13, 14, 15 strikeouts. I'm saying 7 or 8 strikeouts, wins the ball game, maybe a 1-0, 3-1 type of scenario, something like that. Can you imagine if he wins again, what it's going to be like for him at Miller Park when they come home for this longer homestand coming up? Can you imagine that? That play is going to be off the hook, isn't it? It's going to be exciting. Really is. And then one of the other things we want to get into, speaking of exciting, yesterday, Bob Nightingale, USA Today columnist, came on the program. Bob's always a wealth of information. We got talking and said to Bob, You know, well, you know, with the way the jumble is right now in the National League Central, you have four teams right there, okay? Cubs, Pirates, Cardinals, Brewers. You know, well, you know, do you think the Brewers have enough? Is this your year maybe to get into the wild card? And he says not only can they win the division, he believes that it's wide open in the National League. So the Brewers could win the pennant. The Brewers could win the pennant. Both Joe and I looked at each other and went, what? Really? So we'll ask you, are you a believer? Do you believe the Brewers could win the pennant? We'll get into that discussion today as well. Bucks make Budenholzer the hire, and it's official now. They put out the press release. And when are they introducing him, Joe? Is that next week or this week? Because I think they're trying to do it. The way I understood it was they're going to introduce him next week. They're staying away from the draft combine publicity, so to speak. So they'll do it next week. I don't know why. I don't know why you wait. I mean, if he's your hire, he's your guy, go ahead and bring him in. But they've got some guys right now down at the draft combine, including Giannis. So I think they're going to introduce him to the media next week, maybe Monday or Tuesday. So look for that coming to a network near you. So there you have it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Also, this portion of the program brought to you by our good friends over at Bud Light. And I have a meeting immediately when I get off the air over at the Budweiser Pavilion. I'm going over to Wisconsin State Fair Park. And Leanne Hawk and the whole gang over there that run that place, they have opened it up. They're airing it out. They're getting it ready as Wednesday Night Live will get underway 2 weeks from yesterday. So now we're less than 2 weeks away. 2 weeks from, or excuse me, 2 weeks from Wednesday, this past Wednesday. So we're well less than 2 weeks away. And so I'm going to go do a meeting over there today as well as we get ready for Wednesday Night Live, all brought to you by Bud Light. And you've got terrific bands this year. Again, Rebel Grace takes the stage Wednesday night, May 30th. Wednesday night, May 30th. We're going to be there. Hopefully you're there as well. And the other thing, there's so much going on. And I want to go through this whole list, but the other thing, that same night, we are going to be there in promotion of our run walk, which is fast approaching for Polish Fest with St. Ben's Community Meal. They're going to be the benefactor that night of the charity of the 50-50. So it's opening night, Rebel Grace, and which is a really, really, really good band if you've never heard them. They're fantastic. But come on out and then get involved in the 50-50, and you do a great thing for St. Ben's Community Meal, helping feed the hungry in the Milwaukee area. One of my charities near and dear to my heart. So if you can come out and help us help the hungry, that would be fantastic. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Please feel free to chime in. So there's a number of ways we can go right now. We're going to talk some baseball coming up here in about 5 minutes. But with Ryan Braun going on the DL, okay, I'm of the ilk right now where I understand there's a level of frustration. I understand that, okay? However, if Ryan Braun, first of all, he's not going anywhere. So you don't want him to be this financial albatross, you know what I mean? So my whole opinion of this is, first of all, rather than forcing him in the lineup, and his bat's just not getting it done right now, okay? His bat's just not doing it. So rather than forcing him in the lineup and being a kind of a sinkhole right now, okay, I'm like all for it. Put him on the DL. Let him get healthy. When he's healthy, he plays well. Now, last year he didn't play well, but, you know, they kind of took it easy with him, and he had his moments, but he's already had some big moments this season, okay? He seemed to be on much better when we were coming out of spring training than we have seen him in a couple of years past. So go get him healthy. Put him on the DL. Let him get healthy. Let him get that back stiffness or soreness or whatever it happens to be. Just let him go ahead and do it. I'm not upset that he is going on the DL. Some of you are just pissed and you cut him loose. They're not going to cut him loose. It's too much money for a small market franchise to be able to just say, we're going to basically throw it out the window. It's not going to happen, okay? So what you do is you breathe a little bit. Yes, you can be disappointed, but you breathe a little bit and you say, go get him healthy. Go ahead and take your time. But in the meantime, you've got some quality individuals out there right now. Christian Yelich, playing well. Lorenzo Cain, playing pretty well. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're not Domingo Santana, playing pretty well. You're not losing anything by putting Ryan Braun on the DL right now. I don't know why that upsets so many people, other than the fact that it's Ryan Braun and it's attached to a stigma, okay? But right now, I mean, even over at first base, you've got Aguilar hitting .308 with an .861 OPS. Like I mentioned, Yelich right now, .294. .294. Lorenzo Cain, .277. It's a little below the numbers you would like to see out of Lorenzo Cain, but you know, hey, well, you know what? .826 OPS, I'll take it at this point. Domingo Santana, below last year, but .258 with a .674 OPS, .333 on base percentage. All of those numbers compared to Ryan Braun, who is hitting .222. I'll take it in a heartbeat. Let Braun rest. Let him get better. What I'd like to see more so of is Orlando Arcia hit the ball a little bit better. Manny Pena hit the ball a little bit better. Travis Shaw we're starting to see bust out a little bit. Weather's starting to warm up. Things are going to start moving in Miller Park and Wrigley Field and Great American and PNC, all within the division. I'm going to start seeing those guys start to hit the ball. That's what I'm worried about. Get Eric Thames back in the lineup. Once he gets healthy, then you've got that legitimate long ball power threat. Okay, get him back in that lineup. Hernan Perez, he's been off the schneid, man. He's been off the schneid. I mean, he's hitting the hell out of the baseball right now. So it's going to be all right. Okay, now what you can't afford is a bunch of other, you know, a bunch of other injuries at this point. But it's going to be all right. I'm not concerned about Ryan Braun going down. Now, if you start losing pitchers, well, then that's a whole other scenario. You know what I mean? I mean, you can't afford to lose a bunch of starters. You got some pretty good depth there, but you can't afford to lose a bunch of starters. So, anyway, that being said, you've got Ryan Braun going on to the DL. Let him go. Let him get healthy. Agree or disagree? 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com. Toll-free talk line. Coming up here shortly, we are going to have Derek Wetmore, the MLB analyst for 1500 ESPN in the Twin Cities. He's going to be giving us a shout. And we'll talk with him a little bit about the upcoming series between the Brewers and the Minnesota Twins. Twins, you know what? Twins not a bad baseball team. They really aren't. Twins not a bad baseball team. They they play in the Central, obviously, and the Central's kind of wide open. I mean, even Cleveland's expected to run away with that division because, you know, Cleveland's just, you know, they're by far just a better team. But Minnesota, 4.5 games back right now, tied with Detroit. But Minnesota, 18-21, three games under .500 right now. What Minnesota has done, now early on in the season, Minnesota wasn't getting it done at all. But don't forget, they had some rainouts. They had some tough days because they had the weather that was rolling through with the snow and obviously the rain that we've had, specifically in the Twin Cities area, the northern Wisconsin area. Everybody up there knows about all the rain that we've had. You know, so you know that it's been kind of a tough go for them to get their season underway. When you look at the way the season started out, in the month of April, they had, they were playing the Mariners. They had a game that had to get pushed back. They had a Twins home opener on a Thursday. They were off on a Friday. They had a game on the 8th that was pushed back, postponed because of inclement weather. They had a game on the 13th that was postponed because of inclement weather. The 14th and the 15th, an entire series wiped out. So basically, they had three games against the Astros, and then after that, the White Sox series, three out of four games were wiped out. Then they had some inclement weather again. Then they went on the road and had to face the Yankees, who were one of the hottest teams in baseball. They get the Reds back into town. For whatever reason, I mean, the Reds got them two out of three. And then they got into the Blue Jays. Now, the Blue Jays are a pretty good team this year, but the Blue Jays are just falling farther and farther behind in the sense that the East right now between the Red Sox and the Yankees has been so good. But the Blue Jays got them, and then they had to go back on the road to face the White Sox. And then finally the weather started to break a little bit until, of course, they had to take some off days and get some makeup games in there. They had makeup games with the Mariners. They didn't get an off day earlier this week. They did yesterday, but not on Monday when they were scheduled to because that was a postponed game they had to make up with the Mariners going back to the 8th of April. So they're going to start making up some of these games now. And then they got to go to actually Seattle next week. Not this weekend, but next weekend, they got to head back out to Seattle and face Seattle again to try to get in some more of those games. So they got a lot going on. And they have gotten off to kind of a herky-jerky start because of the inclement weather. Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Derek Wetmore, MLB analyst for 1500 ESPN in the Twin Cities. We'll talk to him about that schedule and about the rainouts and about kind of the herky-jerky way the season got underway for the Twins. But they've also been winning games as of late as well. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels show after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael's show is on the air. We're glad to have you. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it, as always. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show. Going to chat with him. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends over at Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin, beyond the borders, down in Illinois as well, Milwaukee, Green Bay. They have locations. All you have to do is call them, 414-455-4451, whether it's ED, which they have a 98% success rate of treating, or it's the low-T treatments, or the all-in-one weight loss program. As summer approaches and you don't want to look like you're smuggling a beer barrel underneath that T-shirt, call them. It works. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. Derek Wetmore, MLB analyst for 1500 ESPN in the Twin Cities, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Derek, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
We're doing well. So this Minnesota team, the season's kind of herky-jerky getting underway. They had quite a few rainouts. The series against Chicago was almost lost. They've had a couple other ones with the Mariners and such. Finally, they get to play in some baseball here over the last week, 8-4 in the last 12 games. Are they starting finally to hit their stride in a sense of normalcy?
Yeah, definitely. They were... I want to say that the season affected them a little bit, the way that they had rainouts and snowouts left and right. They missed three games with the White Sox to a blizzard that ripped through the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. So it was a weird start, and I don't know if we can pin all of their bad play early this season on that. It had some effect, and when you're trying to schedule your pitching, it makes that difficult. But really how they've gotten rolling lately is, yeah, they're scoring some runs, but it's the pitching that's been on a roll, and I think that's what they were hoping to get right from the get-go when they – made a trade this winter for Jake Odorizzi, and they signed Lance Lynn late in free agency. You're kind of thinking, all right, now maybe they have a starting five that can compete. And early on this year, that just wasn't the case. Lately, it's been a little bit better, basically from all five spots in the rotation.
So when you look at this team and you start to see them hitting their stride a little bit, is the record – I guess my question is the record indicative of actually what this team is? Because they play in a weaker division, let's be honest. I mean, where things stand right now, Cleveland isn't exactly the juggernaut of the American League. But is it, like you said, it's not all the herky-jerky start, but is this team, they always say your record is what it is. Are they their record?
Yeah, I think they are close to their record. I actually think they're a little bit better than, I think right now they're 18-21, and that's only a game and a half back in the Central. I think Cleveland will hit a stride later this summer, but that's another conversation. For the Twins, I think they're about a 500 team, maybe a little bit better than that. They just got themselves so far behind. They dug themselves into a pretty deep hole with a rotten April. At one point, they'd lost 8 in a row, I think 10 of 12. That has a way of messing with the math when you look at the standings and say, okay, how good is this team? I think they're I think that they're better than their 18-21 record, but they dug themselves in a hole. And now here's the conversation locally that we're having in the Twin Cities is you've got to play so much better the rest of the year to make the postseason than you would have had to if you were just starting fresh. Mm-hmm. 0-0, if you play 500 the rest of the way, or if you're like an 87 or 88 win team. The way I look at it now is if you're an 88 win team from this point on, well, that's too bad. You probably missed the playoffs because of the bad first month of the season. They always say you can't win a division in April, but I'm not too sure you can't lose it with the way that the Twins have played.
How has their starting pitching been? Obviously, Odorizzi is a guy that many people pay attention to. Decent ERA right now. Team's not batting too bad against him. 225, if I'm not mistaken. His whip has been pretty good. Yeah. But how has that rotation been?
I kind of like the rotation. They don't have a huge, top-of-the-rotation starter-type ace. Jose Barrios is probably the closest to being that guy. But he's still a young kid. He's had some inconsistencies this season. In the games that he has his best stuff, he'll rack up strikeouts. He'll go deep. He had a complete game shutout against the Orioles in his first start. That's kind of indicative of the upside of Barrios. But then he's had a couple starts, too, where it evades him and he doesn't have his best stuff and isn't great at pitching through that just yet. The other guy to watch in this rotation we'll see this weekend is Fernando Romero. Just got a call up. I believe he's made three starts, and he's been great through three starts. I think it remains to be seen if he can sustain this level of success, but he's a guy with a high 90s fastball and just sort of this quiet composure for a young kid getting called up. He's been impressive so far, and I think that if you start a rotation with those two guys, you could do a lot worse. After that, the Twins try to be steady with Lance Lynn, who's off to a rotten start this year, but has a track record as a good big leaguer. Jake Odorizzi, as you mentioned, solid pitcher, solid mid-rotation guy. And then Kyle Gibson has really been a lot better, I think, since last summer, too. So that's five. You'll take that. The big story in the pitching here is Ervin Santana had off-season surgery. He's expected to be back maybe in the next month or so. And then Trevor May had Tommy John surgery last spring. He's probably a couple of weeks away from rejoining the Twins rotation. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens with the Twins rotation when they've got seven guys there for five spots, who goes. But I'd say recently, right now, the Twins should be feeling pretty good overall what they've been getting with their starting rotation.
Talking with Derek Wetmore, MLB analyst for 1500 ESPN in the Twin Cities, talking some Brewers in Twins baseball. When you go back to Fernando Romero, that's going to be a great matchup on Saturday night because he faces the kid that came up and struck out 13 in the Brewers organization for his first start ever, and that's Freddy Peralta. That's going to be two young cats going at it pitch by pitch. You just wonder, you know, when guys come up and you don't, they always say you don't have a book on them, so you really don't know what they do and how they do it. The fact that Peralta had such good movement on his fastball and did it in a particular fashion in Colorado kind of baffled a lot of people. Now you wait and see what he does when he comes in to the Twin Cities coming up on Saturday and then faces Fernando Romero. I mean, it's not like he's facing Clayton Kershaw, so there shouldn't be any real nerves other than the fact that you're just in the big leagues again, but that's going to be an interesting matchup come up Saturday.
I totally agree with you. Fernando Romero got to face Shohei Ohtani out west when they were playing the Angels, and that was one that Twins fans had circled on their calendars for sure. Both pitched pretty well, and I think that speaks to Romero's sort of composure, confidence on the mound. Yeah, he's got the stuff. He's got the fastball, and you'll see a swing-and-miss slider from time to time, but I don't think he backs down from matchups like that. And kind of meaning to ask you on this Peralta kid, that is this sort of the book on him in the minor leagues? Because the success that he had caught the attention of a lot of people around Major League Baseball, and I think we're all curious now, certainly in the Twin Cities, we're curious to see, do you think that's the kind of thing that can continue? Is he that kind of pitcher? Has he had that?
He's pitched well, but I don't think he's pitched well. I mean, that's the reason they called him up, but he hasn't pitched like that. Sure. I mean, you know, he's had some moments and some flashes where you can say, wow, this kid's pretty good, but he's got so much raw talent. His biggest issue, his bugaboo has been walks. And he didn't do that in the game against Colorado. He kept the ball around the plate, kept him guessing. But his big bugaboo has been walks. So if you're patient at the plate and he doesn't have that accuracy, yeah, then he can start to dig himself into a little bit of trouble and start to sweat a little bit. But he really, I mean, they tried to jump all over him, and they just couldn't hit him. And he got ahead in the count most of that day in Colorado. So, you know, I don't know what he's going to bring to the table or if he's figured something out. But he had pinpoint accuracy and was really, really good and kept him guessing. Maybe they'll do the same thing in the Twin Cities. But if you're patient with him and he starts to get a little wild, he can dig himself a little bit of a hole. That's been his bugaboo.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. It's the exact same book on Fernando Romero that walks per nine in the minor leagues. It makes you start to look and say, okay, maybe he has a little control problem. We haven't seen that at all in his three starts with the Twins. It seems every time he falls behind in the count, he comes right back with a strike, battles his way to back to even. And I'm not saying he doesn't give up hits and the occasional walk and stuff too, but when he's throwing strikes, when he's in the zone, and a lot of his fastballs and sliders can be swing and miss stuff. So I feel like that gives him the confidence to attack hitters and really just try to drive ahead in the count, you know, get to those 1-2 counts, 0-2 counts. And so far through three starts, we haven't seen the walks come back to bite him, but that's definitely the big thing that we're watching to see, okay, does the other shoe drop at some point? so far the command's been pretty good.
Derek, always good stuff. Appreciate the insight, and we will talk again soon, okay?
All right. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. That's Derek Wetmore, MLB analyst for 1500 ESPN Radio in the Twin Cities, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends over at Cousin Subs, where they bring you the big gig. They've got a giveaway going on. If you want to be a VIP, here's your chance. Enter the big gig giveaway from Cousin Subs and Summerfest right now. 11 concerts, 11 nights. The American Family Insurance Amphitheater. It's all during Summerfest, and that's 11 chances to win. Each VIP concert package includes 2 tickets, a parking pass, gift cards, and a lot more. 11 people are going to win this one-of-a-kind experience, and you could be one of them. Enter daily at CousinSubs/Big Gig Giveaway to experience your best Summerfest ever. Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. The official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. When we come back, more Brewers baseball. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, he'll join us right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Show on the air. We are glad you are along for the ride today. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. The Milwaukee Brewers coming to the contest in Minneapolis. And, you know, hey, when you look at the standings right now, and if I told you going into the end of May, really as we sit here on the 18th of May, that the Brewers would have Ryan Braun on the DL, Jimmy Nelson with a, quote, minor setback. A couple of pitchers have gone down. Guys haven't had the career years they had last year. They've been shut out 8 times so far this season. You'd say, holy crap, they'd be right there with the Cincinnati Reds at the bottom of the division. But no, they've got the 7th best overall pitching staff in all of baseball. They are 26-18, a half game behind the division-leading Pirates, which if I was a magician at this point and I just went poof and a bunch of smoke came out and you saw Pirates, you'd probably run to the bathroom because you were about ready to let something go. But St. Louis and Chicago, St. Louis 2 games back, the Cubs 2.5 games back. To talk more about it, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, our good buddy Tim Allen. Tim, I give you that scenario, you got to wake up and smile.
Yeah, you do. I mean, they're not at full strength. We all know that. And, you know, their offenses had their struggles, their defense early, although the defense has been improving, it appears. But, you know, they've had their issues, yet still again, I mean, maybe it's the mark of a good team that isn't playing their best, yet still is sitting there at 26-18.
So, I don't know if you heard it yesterday, but I got to ask you, because Bob Nightingale comes on the program, and we start talking about the division. And I asked him if the Brewers had enough, if in his mind, if the Pittsburgh Pirates were real, and he said no. He believes the wheels will fall off, and St. Louis is not, he said they're probably with Yadier out and such, probably not ready to fly, but it's going to become between the Cubs and the Brewers. He said, yeah, I think the Brewers can win the division. He says, not only do I think they can win the division, he said, Bill, I think they can win the pennant. And Joe and I looked at each other and went, what? You know, do you think this team can win the pennant?
Hey, why not? I mean, why not? I don't think you could call them a bad team. Certainly, I think the opposition, look what the Dodgers are doing. Look what the Cardinals are doing. Look what the Cubs are doing. The National League, maybe this is the year that an outlier, not one of the favorites, swoops in and continues to improve themselves throughout the year. Now, I have not listened to that interview yet, Bill. It's part of my prep this afternoon, but that's interesting, but I just say why not? They're 26-18, as we just discussed, not at full strength.
I know you like to play the role of the underdog and the why not guy. I was listening to, I think it might have been the Cubs broadcast or their radio station. I'm not sure, but I'm driving around, and they're talking about, well, the Cubs are going to turn it on, they're going to win the division, only 2 games back, and they haven't played great. And I'm kind of nodding my head going, yeah, I can understand that. But then the words were, and I really don't deem anybody else in the Central even a threat. And I thought to myself, how do you not take, the Brewers were right there all the way to the wire last year, how do you not take the Brewers seriously? They still don't. So to me, if that's the mentality running through a lot of the people that follow Cubs baseball, boy, you talk about sneaking up and biting somebody, the time is right to do so. You know what I mean?
It is, but I mean, they need to exercise some demons against that Chicago team. And, you know, whether it's in their head or just, you know, guys stepping up, those are big league players too. And maybe they step up their game and want to prove something to the Brewers as well. And we're always looking at it from our perspective, but maybe they're trying to hold us down because they know it's a threat. I mean, that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. One thing I do know is these two teams, these two organizations are headed for a collision course in the playoffs. I'm not going to say this year. It's possible this year, for sure. But sometime soon, these two, you talk about, you know, the Cub fans at Miller Park during a regular season game.
Oh, my
just,
God.
Just wait until that happens because I think it's going to happen.
Well, first of all, two things. One, I would dread it. And number two, I would pray to God that Brewers fans would not only buy the tickets, but keep the tickets. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, that's going to be so, so interesting because then the price goes up.
Can you imagine, though, if it comes down to a National League Championship Series between the Cubs and the Brewers, and the temptation for a Brewers season ticket holder to sell those tickets for so much more money, what do? Do you take pride in your team and go? Or do you make a ton of money giving it to Cubs fans who are going to pay you top dollar for that?
Yeah, I know that, and you graduate from a couple $100. Yeah, a couple $100, you know, it's good, it's cool. But you graduate from that to maybe an NLCS, a couple grand maybe for the good ones.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Well, I couldn't even imagine that series, and if it became more Cubs fans and Brewers fans, I would have to go find a place and commit Harry Carey, and I'm not talking about the drunk announcer either. So just an FYI. So Tim, well, Ryan Braun goes on the DL. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, it's frustrating, and that's the word we can use for Ryan Braun. It's frustrating. It is. I mean, you can't. You got to get healthy, number one. And you know, that's so unpredictable with him, or is it? You know, some people say it's very predictable. It just happens. You know, a couple times a year, he's going to go on to the DL. But you got to get him healthy, and I think the DL stint was good. I know they hung tight with the DL and then backdated it. I thought that was a good gamble because of the DH situation in Minnesota. So I think they were waiting that out, hoping and crossing their fingers that Braun could just DH all weekend, but that didn't happen.
The two deals that did not get done may turn out to be the biggest blessings in disguise for David Stearns not mortgaging the farm. Yu Darvish and Lance Lynn, both guys have struggled mightily. Darvish's last outing was good for him, but he only went four innings because that bugaboo of the fifth, they said he had, quote, cramps. So maybe he did, maybe he didn't, I don't know. But I know he hasn't been able to get past that fifth inning without embarrassing himself. So they took him out. They got him out early. So maybe he's back on track. But both of those guys have not performed anywhere near expectations in the money they're getting paid. Maybe the best two deals are the ones that are never made.
Sometimes it happens that way. And I'm not saying that these two guys are going to continue the next 75% of the season doing what they're doing now, because they could turn things around. But we're getting at that mark here past the quarter turn, Bill, where kind of guys are going to settle into what their years are going to be. And we're getting very close to that. I'm not saying we're there yet, but do they flip a switch? They did last year, the Chicago Cubs did, and then they just right there at the All-Star break, they just went on, did their thing. Could they do it? Yeah, but you know, let's find out. That's the exciting part of every day.
I put this out to fans yesterday. I'll put it out to you now. The Brewers, after the quarter turn, are where they are. Are you a full believer that this team is going to be right there at the end of the season, wire to wire?
I do, and I don't see why not. They just find a way, and we were talking about that on the post game a few days ago. And you know, why are they here? What's the biggest reason why they're, you know, doing well? And essentially they are, because the wins and losses are the things that count most. And I think we came to the leadership. I think we all kind of gathered in and said, that's Council, that's his coaching staff, and that's Stearns. I mean, the more we experience Christian Yelich, for example, the more you look at that trade and you say, wow. Because I believe, Bill, Christian Yelich is the best player on this baseball team. He has the best skill set, all-around baseball player, and part of that analysis is his contractual situation and his age, and you pile all that together. That trade right there, that is an amazing deal. And I don't think yet, Bill, that Brewer fans collectively have kind of embraced Christian Yelich quite yet, but wait. Just wait a year, two, three. he might be the face of this franchise.
He could end up being your Ryan Braun.
Yeah.
I mean, he could very well, the numbers he puts up, the way he plays defense, and the arm he has out there, he could end up being a league MVP if this thing all goes right.
Man, that's the type of player you can check every single box. Yep. Every single one. He is, again, you know, I was a big Travis Shaw fan, and still am. But, I mean, Christian Yelich is, Brewer fans, just take a close look at him when he plays baseball. He is the epitome and the definition of baseball player.
Okay, before I let you go, Tim, you've been a part of a lot of rivalries. Obviously, the Twins fan base was a rivalry with the Brewers going all the way back into the American League days. Same with the White Sox, the Cubs, the Cardinals. Best rivalry with the Brewers?
Right now, it's to me, it's clearly the Cubs. The Twins thing was like that. I mean, you're old enough to remember, man.
Yeah.
The Twins, that was a big rivalry, and it was a big rivalry with the Chicago White Sox for many years. And the arch enemy now, you know, much like Green Bay, although in the northern parts of the state they would say, you know, it's the Vikings, but much the same as Green Bay, Chicago, the Bears and the Pack. I think it's Brewers and Cubs.
Always good, Tim. You have a great day. Look forward to hearing you over the weekend, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Awesome, Bill. Thanks.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. For 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program, the statistics and everything, being brought to you by our good friends over at AppRoyo. AppRoyo on the web, APPROYO.com, APPROYO.com. They implement SAP and big data solutions to companies just like yours, because you need all that information kind of put through the sieve to find out where your business can get bigger, better, better, stronger. That's what you want to do. And AppRoyo does it for you. Go to APPROYO.com. That's APPROYO.com. That's AppRoyo.com on the web. When we come back, how good of a rivalry is it or was it with Minnesota? I'll give you my perspective on the different types of rivalries, okay? The fan bases that I've had to deal with on a more regular basis out of Miller Park when it comes to the different rivalries. I want to know what you think of the rivalry still, or is there, between the Brewers and the Twins. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show on the air. Hopefully you're having a terrific day. Good Friday. Good Friday to you. Going to break, I'd ask the question. I want to know. Okay, now, I was not here when the Brewers were in the American League. I got here in 1999. The Brewers were already in the National League. They started building rivalries then. You know, it was... The Cubs necessarily weren't a big rivalry. You still got Cubs fans, but the Cubs weren't really good by then. They didn't start getting good until, you know, 5-6 years ago. The Cardinals were good. Everybody hated the Cardinals. The Reds weren't bad. The Reds traveled pretty well. But the Cardinals traveled probably the best. So when I got to town, and that was still County Stadium days, and then obviously Miller Park opens up, and started doing the Friday night postgame show out at Friday's Front Row. And did that for, I don't know, what was it, 12 years, something like that, 10 years? So anyway, I got a chance to deal with all the fan bases. And then, you know, obviously you travel to Wrigley, you travel to Busch, I've been up to Target. You know, you go to those places as well when you're traveling either with the team or covering things or whatever, or just going as a fan. So I've always described it this way. Cincinnati fans have this... Pittsburgh fans don't travel like anybody else, okay? So I take them out of the equation. Cincinnati fans did travel for a while when their team was pretty good, but they've got this history because that's the first professional baseball team ever. So there's this, we've got this birthright type of thing, okay? And look, I felt it when I lived in that city. St. Louis, back when La Russa was there, had this expectation of we're the best, we have a swagger, we're kind of arrogant about it, but they did appreciate Miller Park. They did appreciate the franchise and the ability to make it a weekend trip to come to Miller Park. They knew they were going to get baseball. There was a few drunk, obnoxious St. Louis Cardinals fans, but for the most part, the fan base, pretty good. Kind of arrogant, but pretty good, okay? Just enough to kind of be nails on a chalkboard to you, but you could tolerate it. It wasn't awful. I've always said, Chicago, their fans, they're the big city. They look down on Milwaukee. It's kind of the toilet to the north. We'll grace you with our presence. We're going to come to your house. We're going to kind of criticize it, even though we like it probably better than our house to a certain extent. We don't have the same type of nostalgic atmosphere, but still. You know, they like it, but they won't admit it, you know. So they'll critique everything. They'll criticize it. I've always said it's like your fat Uncle Charlie coming to your house, the obnoxious one that has the money. He comes over with a cigar. He drops his ashes on your favorite chair. He farts in it a couple of times, plugs up your toilet, tells you your turkey's dry for Thanksgiving, switches all the channels, turns everything up, and then tells you in your own house to be quiet. And then when he leaves, he gives you a 50 and a kiss on the cheek, and you say, kiss my ass, Uncle Charlie. Twins fans, they're kind of happy to be here, but when they get here, they're looking around, they got nothing to do, and they want to beat the hell out of you. I've seen more fights with Twins fans than I've any other fan base. They just, you know, they like, yeah, this is really nice, I like this. What'd you say? Vikings, and then they just take out all those years of frustration of not winning anything in as far as the Super Bowl goes, and they want to fight. They want to drop the gloves because we always have that to fall back on. Well, the Twins got a World Series. Well, we got like 48 championships with the Packers. Screw you, and then they're fighting. That's the rivalry with the Twins. Maybe I nailed it there. When we come back, Steve Novak talking Bucks basketball next on the Bill Michael Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.